Welcome to church this morning. A couple of visitor spaces out there. Welcome to any and all. And welcome if you come to church every week, I suppose. We're going to engage in some worship this morning. I don't know, I'm just feeling a bit of a buzz in the air this morning. I don't know if anybody else is or if it's just because I woke up too early this morning, but I'm feeling a bit of a buzz in the air, so I think it's going to be a good service, and then I'll do a bit middle of the good service. Fab. Okay, let's see what's going on in the life of the church. Let's check in with the bulletin.
Morning, everyone. Most of you will have seen me around church, but for those who don't know me, my name is Sarah, and I'm the circuit admin manager. I work in the office upstairs. I occasionally help out with the Tuesday night youth club, and I've recently joined the flower team. Unofficially, part of my job description is also babysitting Tim and Morgan. I can say that because neither of them are here this morning. Speaking of Morgan, let's see what he has for us this week.
Last week we had a big clear out of our youth cupboard. The contents of a small room were spread across half of the hall and sorted through. The cupboard is now looking super tidy and organised, which is great. A huge thank you to everyone who came along and put in a great shift of tidying and organising. I can't wait to do it again next year. We have an exciting event coming up in the next few weeks. On Saturday, the 4th of March, we will be hosting a Ceilidh. This will include food, time spent with one another, and obviously a good dance with music from the tailgate buskers. So break out your dancing shoes, dust off your kilts, and make sure you don't get paired with Gareth. We do only have the capacity to have 75 people attend, so make sure to either head to this link to book your tickets online or fill in the sign-up sheet that'll be in the glass house. Tickets will be a suggested £10 donation on the door for adults, and children will have free entry. We're really excited for this and hope you are too. For the first time since 2019, we are delighted to be once more running a day in the lakes for refugee families from Newcastle on Thursday, the 10th of August. Hosting up to 50 children and adults in Glenridding. We need a small team of people who are passionate about reaching out to support refugees that can help plan and run the day. If you are interested in helping, please email Tim by Friday, the 17th of February. Our Friday blessings continue to run at 7:30 a.m. every Friday morning. This provides a great opportunity to come together, pray over this wonderful town, and finish the week off right. If you're interested in attending, feel free to turn up opposite the cemetery along Beacon Edge at 7:30 on Friday morning. You are more than welcome to join. That's the bulletin for this week. As always, keep sending in your notices and good news stories so that they can be featured on these videos. And if you need more details about what's going on around PMC and the circuit, head to the weekly info section on our website or give us a follow on Facebook. Now, from everyone here at PMC, God bless and have a great week.
A little bit at the beginning there where you maybe thought, oh good, the bulletin has changed host. Unfortunately not. I have something else to mention as well. Oh, firstly, just to double mention the Ceilidh. I'm looking out for Tracy. I don't think she's in here. Were you in charge of putting a sign-up sheet in the glass house? No? Okay. I don't think there's a sign-up sheet in the glass house yet. But there will be shortly, or you can head to penrithmethodist.co.uk/Ceilidh, and then you just need to learn how to spell Ceilidh, which is always difficult. You can book tickets online there. The thing Tracy is doing is a paint party in the tarn room for the next week, is that right? For which there is a sign-up sheet in the glass house. That was maybe where I got confused. So if you would like to come and help us redecorate our little room that just lives up by the office up there, and you have an hour or so to spare in the next week, pop your name on that list and come and just apply a layer of paint. Why not? When we did the Sandgate room last, I had some good fun conversations with people as we were rollering the ceiling. So it's a good time. Fabulous. I will now hand over to the worship group, which I need to run and be part of for our first block of worship this morning.
What it is to be multi-talented and needed in every corner of the church. Let's pray a blessing on this time of worship. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, each day a blessing given to you, a beautiful gift, a gift in which to sing your praises, a gift in which to remember that you are there, a day in which to draw nearer to you, a day in which to say, we're sorry for the times we ignore you, Lord. But Lord, we want to just, in the stillness now, just welcome you, Lord Jesus. You are here. You are with us. And we love you. And Lord, as we wait upon you, you will bring us strength. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverance.
taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longed to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? His resurrection means our time enough to sing of all you've done, but I have an eternity to try. is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
Whose glory taught the stars to shine. You alone deserve the glory. You alone deserve the praise. Your resurrection means I'll rise. You died for our redemption. Oh Lord, your mercies are so magnificent. Lord, the fact that you have lifted us out of sin and death, and you have placed us at the right hand of, and you have made us adopted, you are just incredible, Lord. You sit interceding for us. Lord, you are amazing. The Lamb, the sacrifice, the Saviour. Lord, we ask that this morning you might just fill us with a sense of your great love for us, but that we might return that love that you have bestowed, that we might share together in saying we love you. You are an amazing God. Through all the troubles and the difficulties, the headaches, the problems, the illnesses, Lord, you are there for us. Lord, may we turn to you this morning and just hold out our hands to you. Just open our hearts to receive. May we be open to your Holy Spirit working in power through our lives and in our church and in our town. Lord, may everything we do be an expression of your great love. May we truly shine. But Lord, in our brokenness, may we receive and accept and be made whole through you, our Lord, our Saviour, our Counsellor, our Comforter. Lord, just hear our prayer. We know that you're with us. Draw us near. Amen.
Amen. We had a little game of, what was that show on? Don't forget the lyrics, wasn't it? Had a bit of a game of that at the start of that second song, and you all failed, so. But don't worry, we are going to play another game in just a minute. Plan is, we're going to have the reading from Tom, then we're going to play a game, and then all the kids are going to go and have some fun. That sound cool? Great. Fab. So our reading this week is about a lady called Anna. Anna the prophetess. This is the second week for us in a series which we're calling Guess Who Showed Up at the Temple. Last week Morgan was here, he was speaking about Simeon. Not sure what he said, I wasn't paying attention, but if you think you can put up with that, you can catch up with it on YouTube or on the website. If you want to get the full picture. And next week Tim is talking about Jesus, which means I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus at all this week. So but yeah, we're going to hear about a lady called Anna. Anna's really interesting because I have to do a whole service about her, and she has three verses in the Bible, which means Tom has the pleasure of doing one of the shortest readings ever. Tom, do you want to come and do our reading for us? Oh, and if you want to stick around afterwards as well, I've got a job for you. Thanks.
So our reading today is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. You can stay there and use that microphone, actually. That'd work out well. So, we are going to play a game. Tom, it is you versus all of these people. Okay?
I have a few questions.
You have no questions, actually. It's fine. No, we're going to... What I decided to do, to be nice to you, because I'm always nice to you, is to not put you with any of these lot. Because we already know they don't know the lyrics to that second song, so what else do they not know? Do you know what I mean? So we're going to play a game, and it's you guys versus Tom, okay? So the game is, who is this person? I'm going to put... Well, rather, Caleb is going to put a picture on the screen, and I just need you to tell me who that person is, okay? We're going to start with you, Tom. Caleb, if we could get the first picture up. That's that one. Not the video. Little spoiler. There we go. There he is. Look at that smiling face. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Does anybody want to help Tom? Anybody know who this is? Yeah, Alina's going to. That is Jason Manford. Well done, Tom. You did so well. Next one's for you guys. So if we get that next picture up, Caleb. Yeah, that one. So who's this? No? No one? Okay, well, this is actually Ignacio Lopez, who came last in Jason Manford's talent show for comedians called Show Me the Funny in 2011. So... pretty big name. I don't know how you didn't get that one. Right, let's try the next one. For Tom. Tom, do you know who this is?
Oh, gosh. I've seen her face.
You have?
I think this is revealing just how ignorant I am as to pop culture, isn't it?
Possibly. I should have picked someone else. This person...
Oh, is it Taylor Swift?
There we go.
Yes!
Taylor Swift. Well done.
There in the end.
Next one's for you guys. Caleb, let's get that one up. Anyone know who this is? No? Oh, I tell you what a crowd this morning. This is Gabriel Waring. He is my friend from uni. He plays guitar in the Pit for Touring Theatre in America, and he did not give me permission to use him in this illustration. Okay, Tom, definitely going to get this next one.
Are you sure?
Definitely. If you don't, you're losing your nerd card.
Tony Stark.
That is Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, indeed. Okay, so it is currently 2.5 to 0, but you can make some points up here. Let's see the next one, Caleb. There we go. Who's this? Still from Marvel films. No. So this is actually the announcer for an award ceremony that Tony Stark goes to in Iron Man. Film. Okay, last one. Again, if you don't get this one, I'm disowning you.
Oh, it's Doctor Who. Wait, which one is it?
Oh, if you get the number, that's an extra point.
He was one of the early Doctors, wasn't he?
No.
Was he not?
Well, he was one of the early Doctors of the new series. But Doctor Who started in 1963, and that's in colour.
It's really annoying because being in front of everyone, it's giving me a mental blank.
You've got Doctor Who. That'll
yes.
Do. That is the 10th Doctor.
10th?
Tenth, yeah. But
right.
We started on 9 in the new series, so that's where you're confused.
Right.
Okay, last one for you guys. You'll definitely get this. Who is this guy? No? I was really hoping one of you would just have some obscure bit of knowledge about something in one of these and just be able to shout out. This is Man with Chips, who is on screen for just a few seconds in episode 6 of series 33 of Doctor Who. In fact, we can see Man with Chips now. Let's watch that video.
Really, Doctor? A motorbike? it hardly seems like you.
I wrote this in the Anti-Grav Olympics, 2074. I came last.
The building is in lockdown. I'm afraid you're not coming in.
Did you even hear the word anti-grav?
There we go. That is Man with Chips. Cinematic history right there. Thanks, Tom.
I think if you would have chosen anyone else in the congregation, you would have done better than me.
But you did win, so you can go and take a seat. Thank you. I remember when Doctor Who used to be good. Okay, cool. I've forgotten what we're doing next because I'm too excited. That's it. So, kids, you can now head off and do something fun, like watch that episode of Doctor Who. That'd be fun. Fab, and we'll see you when we come to disturb you for tea and coffee later. Now we are going to move on to our hymn. If you want to follow in the songbooks, it is in Singing the Faith, number 610. But if you are a screens person, it shall be on the screens. What was that, sorry? I thought I heard something, but... No? Okay. Fine. I'm just hearing voices. It's God. Let's say it's God. Number 610, Best of All is God is with us. Thanks, John. So Anna's pretty weird, isn't she? Start off strong with that. I hope she wouldn't mind me saying that, because I also think she's pretty awesome. And those two are not mutually exclusive things. In fact, I find they're quite often tied together. I think Anna, if you can remember back, is kind of like the man of the Bible, which is a phrase that's never been uttered out loud before. So she turns up without any real warning in sort of the latter half of the Bible and says one or two things and then disappears again forever. In fact, Man with Chips is arguably given more significance. So in TV, if you are an extra and you're just in the background, you're paid sort of one lowish rate. But then if you're given lines, you're instantly a featured extra and you get paid more. Well, I think Luke was trying to save some of the publishing budget of the Bible, because Anna doesn't actually get to say any of her own words. Luke just says the gist of what she said in Luke's words. Just really keeping an eye on the... thinking, Tom, if she's not important, why are we talking about her? It's a good question, if phrased a little rude, but it's fine, I'll answer it anyway. Let's take a look at what we do know about her, and we'll try and work out something to say about her from there. So, one thing we know is that she's old. We're not sure exactly how old, because the language of the Bible trips over itself a little bit here. It's generally held that she is either 84 or 104. Either of those are getting on a bit, you know? Getting towards the latter half of life, shall we say. Or latter... either way, old. I was going to say older than Nigel, but he's not here, so I feel like that would be mean. So, thank you. Next, what did we know? She's from one of the tribes that was lost during the exile. A whole bunch of tribes sort of got like merged into one during the exile period and just sort of lost their identity. She was part of one of those. But interestingly, she clearly still holds on to that identity, because it's one of the few things that we know about her. So it must have got passed down to Luke when he was writing about her. So this is clearly still something she holds as part of her identity, her place in one of these tribes. Then we know that she lives at the temple. It says that she spends all her time there, and she's not praying constantly 24/7, because how would you eat, sleep, breathe, all of that? So we can guess that she's got like a little bedsit at the temple somewhere, and then she's just doing that sort of whole life worship thing as she lives at the temple. And then we get to the interesting word about Anna. Prophetess. Anna is described as a prophet. Which makes sense, because we all know, I'm calling on you a lot today. I didn't realise you were going to have to do this much work, did you? Know several of Anna's famous prophecies, right? You know, we can all... Isaiah's got a whole book. We could say a bunch of his. No, that's right. Isaiah gets a whole book and Anna gets 3 verses in the Bible. But we know she's a prophetess. So she must have spent her whole life ministering, prophesying over, and teaching in the temple where she lived. She must have done. Otherwise, she wouldn't have got that title. Especially was sort of stacked up against her in getting that title. There are single digits of female prophets that are mentioned in the Bible, of which Anna is one. Counter that, there are at least 200 male prophets that are mentioned across the whole of the Bible. And so you see that the barrier of entry to the title prophetess is quite high. Never mind then the fact that she was also old, she was widowed, she had her identity in a long dead tribe. All of these things could easily have led to her being brushed off and just ignored. And yet she rose up to gain one of those few prophetess badges that they were giving out in Bible times. Which must have meant that behind the scenes, she was doing some intense holy work to earn her that place. And when you sort of look for, what does the story of Anna mean, which I did a lot of them say, oh, it's about waiting, because Anna, you know, she waited her whole life for this one moment where Jesus comes to the temple as a baby to get blessed about 40 days after he's born. She waited for this moment for all of her 84 or 104 years. And so this story is about waiting, it's about patience, it's about faith, and it is. And in fact, you see that about Simeon as well. Same story that Morgan was talking about last year. Somebody who waited all of his life and basically said, once he'd met Jesus, That's it, I can die happy now. But if we want to really know these people, I don't think that actually gives a full and accurate picture of their lives. It's a nice little snapshot, but I don't think it gives a full and accurate picture. So we read that Simeon, again, last week, but we'll go back, wasn't supposed to be in the temple that day necessarily. He got a message from God that said, hey, this day, go to the temple, something calls me. And so he does. And that is when he fulfills this lifelong goal. Which means here we see a man that is connected with God so strongly that he just hears that call and is like, yeah, cool, I'm on my way. What does that man's life look like? It's a life of faith. It's a life of everyday actions, not just this one big one. And with Anna, the only sort of prophecy we know is that she starts telling people, after meeting him, that Jesus will be the saviour of Jerusalem. But for those people to listen when she says that and not just dismiss her as some crazy lady, she has got to have built up some integrity, some trustworthiness, a reputation even. Everything she does in her day-to-day life before this momentous occasion. You see, waiting on this kind of big fanfare and meeting the Messiah is great if you want to be in Bible 2.0 whenever that drops. But for us in this room, we're probably not shooting to be prophetess number 9 in the next Bible. Let's hope if there is another Bible written, there's slightly more than 9 female prophets, but you know. So having I'm thinking about jack of potatoes already. Having a super simple message like, just have faith that the thing you're hoping for will come eventually. This might be controversial. It's a bit condescending and rubbish, really. Like, it works, ish. Because actually that ignores all the stuff that Anna must have done before this point. These are a people for whom, their culture is one for whom faith is waiting for a future that they believe is coming in like centuries, generations down the line. They are doing like this generational waiting game for the coming of the Messiah. And yeah, it's coming to its end, but they're still part of a long, long waiting game. But I think for us, the idea of waiting for God is not waiting for a long-term plan necessarily or a specific event necessarily, but rather we're waiting for God's presence in the next moment. We're waiting for God to come now. When we sing the song Waiting Here For You in a couple of minutes, we're not saying that, oh yeah, we're waiting here for you for the next several decades, and we hope that maybe in 100 years you'll do something. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, God, we are waiting for you. Now, here we are. Do something now. And that's because we're not finding ourselves a place in the Bible. We're finding God's place in our lives. And that's a skill that needs practice, I think, that waiting for God in the short term is something that we can practice and we can hone and we can get better at. Petitioning to God for something to happen in some situation or to someone, hopefully a good thing, and then just sitting and waiting for something to happen now. It's a skill we can practice. We say, God, we invite you into this moment, believing that you work now, believing that you work today. Both in the eventual, and always have, as we see in those biblical times, we believe that you work eventually, as we sort of see in the Old Testament. But we also believe that you work now and here, as we see in the New Testament. What can we give you today that will change the world in just that little bit? What knowledge can we seek and find now that will change how my circle sees life? While we dwell on that for a bit, I'll invite the band back up. And maybe as part of this sort of response time now, this song, you want to practice that waiting on God to do something now. Offer up God a little prayer that says, hey, I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I'm open to you. I'm waiting for you in this moment to come and bless me and bless the people in this room and bless people I know. just a little addendum onto what I said, because Anna gets talked about so little that while we're talking about it, I might as well say this. As I said, Anna did have the odds stacked against her in terms of her ability to do her calling as a prophet. There were lots of cultural reasons for the people of the day not to listen to her. Her age, her gender, her marital status. And yet, she and God found a way for her to use her skills to get to that momentous event. In the same way, there might be people here thinking, yeah, maybe I do have something to bring to the table, but my age, my gender, my sexuality, my race, my money worries, a disability is getting in the way of that. Now, I'm not somebody who believes that God, for example, puts people into poverty so that they can talk to people in poverty. I believe in a God that does that. But I do believe God can use somebody who is, again, for example, in poverty to help others. You see, I think God can use us despite our potential barriers, but I also think that they can use us because of those things. God was able to use Anna because the fact that she was old, widowed, and tribeless meant that she could spend all of her time in the temple, putting her in the perfect place to meet Jesus and then prophesy him as this saviour. And I think that's also a calling to a lot of us, to a lot of people. I think that's a calling for us to listen to all people as well. Not block them out because of what they are, their labels, these barriers that we've spoken about. Or not even really to listen to people despite those barriers. Be like, oh yeah, you know, they're quite young, but I'll pay attention to them anyway because I'm a nice person. I think, you know, being part of this kingdom of God and identifying that everyone's part of the body and all that kind of church lingo means that we should listen to every well-meaning person because of who they are. I think we should listen and we should hear when any voice speaks. That means that any voice has a place to be listened to. I just thought that was something else important about Anna's story. Thanks, guys. Okay. We're going to... That was fun. We're going to move to a... you guys have already been praying, but I haven't. So we're going to move to a time where I'll pray now. Yeah, let's pray. Dear God, we pray for the Annas of the world, for people who live a life of worship to you, taking joy from the small moments and the big. And may we see those qualities of Anna and think, yeah, you know what? I can replicate something of that in myself. God, we know that where we see obstacles or issues, that you see something easily overcome, that you see the glimmer of hope, the opportunity in that. God, may you open our eyes to that as well. We pray for those most affected by the ongoing cost of living crisis. Some glimmer of hope on the horizon. I heard something about energy prices hopefully going down towards the end of the year, which might just be that little light in the tunnel, in a still going on tunnel. We pray that the people in need now receive the support they require now. God, we wait for you to do that now, wherever that help may come from. And we keep in mind all those wars that are raging in the world. Ukraine, of course. But also those wars that are raging across Africa and in bits of the Middle East. We pray that in all these places, people may find a sense of your peace. Pray that innocent people find refuge from that turmoil. God, we thank you that in this day and age, we can have the trust that when we pray, things happen. Now or in the near future. We pray for patience and faith to work with you in this life. Help us to build up our integrity, our trustworthiness and our reputation in all that we do so that we may live our lives to the fullest, that we may be a source of inspiration to people around us, so that when you give us words to speak, whether we realise they're your words or not, people listen. And God, I pray that where there are people that feel like Matt with chips, like they're in the background, like they're an extra in the world, that they hear you say that they are loved, they are able, and they are important. God, we know we can pray all of this in your name because we know that you are love. Amen. Excellent. We're going to close out our worship today with another hymn, number 663 in the red books, or again, words will be on the screen. Here I am, Lord. having that conversation of this wondrous, you know, all-powerful but loving God. And then there we are in the middle of it going, yeah, me, use me, brilliant. A couple of notices before we go and do those things. I should have said I'd planned a retiring offering, but I hadn't told anyone. So if you weren't able to give as the bowl went round and you want to, there's one just on the chair over here on the way out, or we have the card machine run back if you'd rather give that way, but we know a lot of people give in other ways, so that's all for you to deal with. Jack of potatoes, the important one. In case you don't know, we are having our church lunch after this. Everyone is invited. We're just going to be heading round to the old water room, which is just round there. Jack of potatoes and fillings, and then puddings afterwards. So, yeah, more than welcome to stay for that. If you're watching on the live stream, have a jacket potato at home and pretend we're with you. God, as we close this part of our time together and look to our week ahead, help us to be like Anna, constantly seeking you, pouring out our hearts to you, and never losing sight of your love. Help us to be experts in waiting for your presence, not for that distant future event, but for the next moment where we can experience your love and grace in a real, tangible way. And may we be known, like Anna, as people of integrity, people of trustworthiness, honestly sharing your message of hope, of salvation, and of love with all those around us. Amen.